Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
The little boy cried out,
"Mom, where are you?"
The boy was frantic. He ran to aisle one and saw nothing but potato chips and an old man in an automatic shopping cart. He went to aisle two, but still no mom. As he walked to the third aisle, he began to wonder what had happened. He had been just looking at fruit snacks, and all of a sudden, she was gone. He started to cry. He said, "Mom, where are you?" As he looked down aisle four, had she left him at the store all by himself? Had she decided he was just too much trouble to feed? All he had asked for was fruit snacks. Had she headed home and forgot all about him? He felt sad. He felt scared. He felt abandoned. Just as he reached aisle five, he noticed a man in a blue vest putting cans on a shelf. "I think my mom left me at the store or got abducted by aliens or something," the boy said to the shelf stalker. "Now what makes you think that?" he asked as he knelt down in the middle of the pallet of green peas. "Well," the boy answered, "I was looking at fruit snacks and then she was just gone. I asked her if we could get some and then she was gone." The man in the blue vest slowly got up from his kneeling position. "Well, let's see if we can find her." "We won't find her," the little boy said right away. "I've looked all over the world, and she's just plain gone." The man in the blue vest took the little boy by the hand and headed toward aisle six. There were, in fact, 20 aisles in this grocery store. "So what makes you think your mom is left without you?" "Because I don't see her." "Has she ever accidentally left you anywhere before?" the man asked. "Well, no." "Has she ever been abducted by aliens before?" the man asked. "Well, not that I know of." "So why would you doubt her now?" "I am sure she's here and we just have to find her," the man said as he walked up to a small stand at aisle 10. After a minute, an announcement came over the whole store that echoed down the hall. Just as the announcement was blasting over the store, announcing to the world that his mother had left him to fend for himself with nothing but a box of fruit snacks to eat, his mother appeared with her full cart around the corner of aisle 15. His baby sister was bouncing up and down in the seat of the cart, sucking on a bottle and sporting a different outfit than the one that she had on when they had entered the store. "Mom," the little boy cried out and sprinted down the four aisles to meet his mother. "Mom, I thought you left without me," the little boy said as he hugged his mother beside the cart. "Honey, I asked you to follow me to the bathroom so I could change your little sister. I thought you heard me. I looked around and I changed her, but I didn't see you. So I went back to the fruit snack aisle and you weren't there any longer." "Honey, have I ever left you anywhere before, have I?" The son answered, "No." "Then why did you doubt my love for you?" "I don't know, Mom." "Well, I hope you learned something about me today. I'm your mother. I love you. And I will never, ever leave you." What a great story. What a great story. A little boy that just because he couldn't see his mom, he doubted her great love for him. As we begin our new sermon series here today, entitled "I Met Him, Transforming Encounters with the Living Christ," we're going to be introduced to a number of people that met Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, and it transformed them forever. The guy that we're going to be talking about here today, just like that little boy, doubted the one who loved him. The gentleman we're going to be talking about today doubted the man who loved him. Who was that? Well, we know him as Doubting Thomas. From John chapter 20, on the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. What an amazing day that must have been. So if you can imagine, we have these disciples all huddled together behind locked doors. They're scared to death that the same people that put Jesus on a cross were now looking for them. And so they've locked all the doors. There's no way that anyone can get in except for the risen one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he appears there in the room, even though all the doors are locked. And he says, "Peace be with you." And it says the disciples were overjoyed that they saw the Lord. The word there in Greek is actually the word where we get our word hilarious. They were hilariously ecstatic that they were seeing Jesus risen again. They had seen him crucified. They'd seen him die on that cross. And now here he was back again. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord," with great hilarious excitement. And he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Hence where he gets the name Doubting Thomas. Now, I think Thomas kind of gets a bad rap. He said one thing that was full of doubt, but it was just a few chapters before this in John chapter 11 that this is what transpired. It says, "And when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea.' 'But Rabbi,' they said, 'a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet we're going.' Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us also go that we may die with him.'" So Jesus said, "Let's go back to Judea." The other disciples are thinking, "This is not a good idea, Jesus. The last time we went there, they tried to stone you. And guess what? They might try to stone us too. Can't we wait a few more days? Lazarus will be fine." There was only one of those disciples that said, "You know what? If he's going, let's go. And if we have to die with him, let us die with him." Who was that? That was Thomas. Here's our very important point here for today. It's this. Sometimes those with the most devotion to Jesus are the ones who sometimes struggle with doubts when things don't transpire the way or in the timing that they supposed they would. You can tell from Thomas's words in John chapter 11, he was completely devoted, even unto death, to the Lord Jesus. Maybe you struggle with doubts sometimes too. Maybe you feel really badly that you have some of those doubts. Well, it could be that sometimes those that struggle with doubt are the most devoted to Jesus. Look at it this way. If you never expect him to do anything amazing in your life or in the lives of others, then when it doesn't happen the way that you expected it to, you're never going to be disappointed. But if you do expect great things out of him because you actually believe what he says, then when it doesn't happen exactly the way that you want it to, that hurts. It hurts a little bit. And out of that hurt, sometimes doubts can be born. And people have lots of doubts about God. Maybe you can relate to some of these. Some people don't even get past step one. They doubt that he even exists. Other people doubt that he knows you. Maybe he does exist, but he doesn't know me. I mean, come on, Pastor. There are 8 billion people on this planet. How can he know me? Some people doubt that he is with you. Some people doubt that he could ever forgive you for what you've done wrong. And some people doubt that he will do miracles in your life like he has said. Lots of doubts that people have about. But you know what? As I thought about each one of these doubts, every single one of these the Lord addresses in Scripture. The doubt that God exists, in Hebrews 11, it says, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He does exist and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. He does exist. You may not be able to see Him, just like you, the kids couldn't see those little things in the water, but He does exist. Maybe you doubt that He knows you, but look at these words from Isaiah 43. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. If you believe in Jesus Christ, even with an imperfect faith, and you've been baptized, He has summoned you by name. He knows you by name, and He says you are. Oh, He knows you. Maybe you doubt that He's with you, but look at what it says in Hebrews 13. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Once again, you may not feel it. You may not be able to see Him, but His promise is ever true. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Maybe you doubt those last two things, that He could ever forgive you or that He'll ever do miracles in your life. But look at what it says in Psalm 103. Praise or bless the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. What are the benefits of God? He forgives you all your sin and heals all your diseases. I didn't write that. God did. If you ever doubt that God could ever forgive you, remember this. Jesus on that cross paid for all the sins of the world, not just the little ones, but the really big ones that you're having a hard time forgiving yourself for. And if He has forgiven them because Jesus has paid for them in full, then you can finally let it go. He forgives your sins, heals your disease. What a God, you and I. Just a few facts regarding doubt here today. Number one, to doubt God and His Word is our natural fallen human tendency, unfortunately. From the time of Adam and Eve, they had doubts. Satan was putting those doubts into the minds of Adam and Eve. Did God really say? And they started to doubt that God was good. They started to doubt, well, did I hear Him correctly? Did He really mean what He said? It's our natural fallen tendency as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. That being said, we should not remain in our doubt. Can and should be overcome. Here's the blessing. If you are struggling with doubts, you don't have to have those doubts forever. They actually can be overcome. And we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. And number three, it's what you do when you begin to doubt that makes all the difference. We all have those doubts that sneak into our mind. But it's what you do once you start that makes all the difference. Yesterday, as I was getting ready for work, I was praying, and I felt like the Lord gave me an analogy. Hopefully it's a good analogy. How many of you take a bunch of pills every day? Any of you? Right, there's quite a few of us. How many of you have at least one of those pills that's a big horse pill? They're hard to get down, right? They're hard to get down. I've got one of those too. That's it, right up there. It's a hard one to get down. And you know what? There are some hard pills to swallow when we read the Word of God, right? Miracle, like healing, or you could put any miracle up there. Those miracles are kind of hard to swallow. Why? Well, because we don't necessarily see all of them in our day-to-day life. So if we're going to swallow that big horse pill of miracles, that God is still doing miracles today, then what are we going to need? We're going to need something to wash that down well, aren't we? We're going to need a full glass of water, the water of life, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. The Bible tells us in Romans that faith to believe in the miraculous, it comes by hearing the Word of God. What else are we going to need? We're going to need God's promises. We're going to need to be reminded of the promises of God. And we're going to need to know what God has done in the past, recognizing that He's exactly the same today, so that I know what to expect out of Him. If you give yourself a regular dose of that kind of water, God's Word, God's promises, reminding yourself what God has done, not just in the words of Scripture 2,000 years ago, but look in your own life. Has God ever left you before? Has He ever not helped you when you have called out to Him? Just like that little boy, we've got selective amnesia sometimes, don't we? We so quickly forget that our Heavenly Father has always been there, and He's not about to stop now. And so as we drink deeply of the Word of God, as we remember His promises and remember that He doesn't break even a single one of those, when we remember what He's done and recognize He hasn't changed one bit, then what does that do? That helps us to get down, to swallow that big pill called the miraculous. And pretty soon, you start believing what He said. And what did Jesus say? 8 times in the Gospels, He said this: go, your faith has healed. Where do we get faith? From the Word of God, from the promises of God, and from remembering what He did. You don't have to stay in those doubts. You don't have to, and you shouldn't. God wants you to overcome those doubts by His Word. How do I overcome doubt? Get into the Word of God. Remind yourself what God has done in the past. Remind yourself that God hasn't changed one bit. Ask for what you need, and then thank God for answering you as you wait on the answer. That's a really important thing. Because sometimes God does the miracle right away. And sometimes it takes time for whatever reason. But faith is saying this: God, I know You heard me. And so I'm going to start thanking You right now, even before I see how You're going to do it. Oh, and also at that same time, worship Him as you wait. That's the ultimate. I'm waiting on the Lord for a couple of miracles in my life and in my family's life. And you know what? Sometimes those things feel very heavy. And maybe the last thing on earth you want to do is thank and worship and praise the Lord as you're waiting on Him, because it seems like He's taken a while. But faith is when you say, God is good to His Word, and so I'm going to worship and praise Him right now for what He's going to do. Back to John 20. A week later, His disciples were in the house again, and this time Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See My hands. Reach out your hand and put it into My side. Stop doubting and believe." What did Jesus do for Thomas? He helped him overcome his doubt. And God wants to help you through His Word to overcome your doubts as well, so that you, just like Thomas, could say, "My Lord and my God," and give glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Just one last thing about this Thomas, this doubting Thomas. Well, he was able to overcome his doubts in a really big way. Church history tells us that Thomas, after Jesus rose from the dead and after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, went all the way to India to share the gospel in India. And almost 2,000 years later, those churches that he started in India are still going. Some of the residents of different places in India will tell you these churches were started by St. Thomas the Apostle. And many people in India have a very un-Indian last name. God was able to help us overcome his doubts. He wants to help you overcome your doubts as well by the Word of God. In this sermon series, as we finish every one of these sermons, we're going to have a testimony of somebody in our midst that also can relate to the topic at hand. And I'm going to ask Matt to come forward and to share with you here today a little bit of his testimony.
I just want to start with a short story. I was listening to the sermon at last month's healing service and had a thought creep into my head. What if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong about salvation? What if Jesus didn't save us? You know, my heart started to race. You know, my hands started to shake a little bit, thinking about, well, if that's true, then what do I need to do? I started thinking about my wife and kids. What's going to happen to them? I was just petrified in this thought. But I remembered about Jesus' love and that there's nothing more powerful than the name of Jesus. I just started to pray, looking up and feeling like Jesus was giving me a big hug, just telling me, it's okay. I got you. I wanted to start with that story because it was the one that actually came to my mind when Pastor asked if anybody had a testimony about doubt. But when I started to pray a bit more, I just couldn't help but thinking I could relate to Thomas's doubt in this moment after Jesus's resurrection. I mean, I'm a very analytical, very technical person. I kind of take everything I hear with a grain of salt. So if I haven't seen it or verified it for myself, I have a hard time believing it. I tend to see with my head and not with my heart. Now, when has doubt crept into my life? I've had doubts about healing. Doubts that God wants to heal me from my sciatica that I've been fighting for 4 years. I've had doubts about financials. Will God provide for me? A time when I lost my job, Tanya was 8 months pregnant with our second child, and I ended up being unemployed for more than 6 months. Back when Tanya only worked weekends so we could save on childcare, the salon she was working at decided not to be open on Sundays anymore, which cut her income in half. I've had doubts about my relationship with God. How and why does God want a relationship with me? Growing up, I'd study the Bible, but it just seemed like words on a page. I'd go to the service, but I'd just see all just pomp and circumstance. I just didn't see the point. So why go at all? But Tanya and I, when we started getting together, you know, looked for a church, and it ended up, the pastor that we had ended up being two hours late to our wedding. We didn't go back. Tanya and I found a new church again for a short time, but when we moved to the Buffalo area, we looked again for a church home, only to find it empty as well. And that doubt crept back in. But how does this doubt get removed from my life? I want to tell you a story about how my family ended up coming here to St. John's. After Tanya and I had lived in the area for a few years, we had a neighbor move in a couple houses down. Nice young couple, 4 wonderful kids from New York State, named Ryan and Catherine. These neighbors were very polite, and they even invited us to come here and visit St. John's. We declined. Some time had passed now, and this is the time when Tanya had stopped working on Sundays, so we decided that it was a good time to start looking for a church family again. We went to a few places, but it just didn't feel right. So again, that doubt crept back in. After some more time, our undeterred neighbors, the Clarks, invited us to visit St. John's. This time we decided to come. After we came through the front doors, all we felt was love. The greeters, the elders, the welcome center, the pastor, all made us feel loved by the kindness they had to share. We couldn't wait to come back. This is when my timeline gets a little fuzzy, but it was within a few weeks. I ended up being called to my manager's office, and out of the blue, I ended up getting a raise. And this raise was actually more than enough to cover Tanya's loss of income. And that same week, after church, we decided to go out for lunch. But this time when we asked the server for our check, they politely said they'd already... Someone else had paid the debt we owed. Tanya and I don't have any doubt that this sequence of events happened for a reason. And it was Jesus showing us his love and telling us, don't worry, I got you. This is where I want you. Even after becoming members, I still see that love. People picking up some little gummy blue sharks from Fleet Farm because Tanya had mentioned to them that I really like them. I see people bringing fresh baked bread because they heard somebody else really liked it when they brought it to the last potluck. Again and again, I see people give for others. The love of Jesus. When I see the love of Jesus coming through others, it's not just words on a page. The more I see that love, the more I believe in his word, the more I believe.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.